A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, over all these things put on love, that is, the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do from the heart, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive from the Lord the due payment of the inheritance. Be slaves of the Lord Christ.
Verbum Domini.
Lord, give success to the work of our hands. Before the mountains were begotten, and the earth and the world were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Lord, give success to the work of our hands.
You turned them back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night.
Lord, give success to the work of our hands.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Lord, give success to the work of our hands.
Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. Let your work be seen by your servants, and your glory by their children.
Lord, give success to the work of our hands.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu
tuo. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house. And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. Verbum Domini. Tomorrow, May 2nd, is the 38th anniversary of the founding of our community by Mother Angelica, 1987. And in the early days, Brother Leo will remember this. We needed a place for our classrooms, for our offices, for our library. And so we decided we would turn to St. Joseph, that he'd help us build what is now our House of Studies, St. Joseph House of Studies. So we prayed to St. Joseph. We actually placed a brick in front of his statue there at the friary, prayed to St. Joseph. And one night, it was an evening, and we were having our evening meal, and the phone rings, and I said, "Father, it's for you." I was a community servant at that time. And so I'm talking to a man from Kentucky I've never talked to before. He said, "I saw that you wanted to build, you know, a place for your classrooms." I said, "Yes, we hope someday in the future to be able to do that." He said, "I want to build it." And so he did. And an interesting point about that, we put that brick that we had in front of St. Joseph right near the front door. If you go to the House of Studies today, look to the right, there's one brick that doesn't really match the rest. That's the one we had in front of St. Joseph, and it stands out as always a reminder of his intercession for us. But an interesting point about that House of Studies, which has really been a blessing to us for we can do so much of our work and have our library, is that the man who funded it, may he rest in peace, John Pat Clements was his name, that he was in the insulation business. And so he made his money in selling insulation for homes. So when it was being built, he sent down a semi-load of his best insulation. When you go inside there, it's really quiet. It's really quiet. And we think of St. Joseph as the quiet man and the silent man. And so he teaches us how to live in silence and in quiet, to have that deep interior life then by which we can carry out the work that the Lord has given us to do in our time. And so we all have our own particular work, and sometimes we look at work, you know, as a necessary evil or something I gotta do. Or as one bumper sticker says, "I'd rather be fishing," you know. So we have our own particular things we would rather be doing. But today's feast and the example of St. Joseph reminds us that this is part of our path to our sanctification. And that in fact, we are enriched by working. It wouldn't be good for us not to be engaged in doing some work. There's so many things that we learn in the process of developing our skills, of relating with other people at the workplace, of the challenges that come along, of the offerings we can make when our work is difficult. And so this is part of our means of sanctification. You know, a few years ago, we recorded a program called St. Joseph the Worker, and you can actually, it'll be on the air at 3 o'clock today. And we went to a friend's house where he had a workshop, and we used that as our place where we did the recordings. But Steve Beaumont, who's the director of our studio operations, he has a good sense of humor. And so if you watch that show today, or you can find it free on demand as well, you're going to see something in the background you probably never noticed if you saw the program. And so there was a sign there that said "one way," and it's got an arrow. And when we went in there, it was vertical, but he turned it this way, one way. We want to go one way, which is up to heaven. But then he also, there was a pitchfork in there, so he put that right next to it. So there's the alternative, you know, the pitchfork going down or one way going up. And so our work is to be part of that service to the Lord, our service to the others. And St. Paul brings that out in today's first reading from his letter to the Colossians about how we are to do our work. And he himself was a tent maker. And he wrote to the Thessalonians that if one doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. So he himself was engaged in the trade of tent making. And he tells us how we are to work in his letter to the Colossians. He says, whatever you do, do from the heart, as for the Lord, and not for men. So whatever our work is today, let's have a higher motivation, not just to get through the day, but to have a higher motivation that has eternal consequences, that sanctifies us. Do it for the Lord. Do it from the heart. And earlier he wrote, over all these things, put on love. And he calls it the bond of perfection. It's a bond. So this love unites us with God, unites us with others. It's the one thing we'll carry with us to eternity. The work we do with love, it's a bond with God, with others. It's a bond of perfection. It leads us to perfection when we do our work and we do it with love. It doesn't matter how menial it is. We can always add some of our own creativity, our own ingenuity to it, that we are called to be co-creators with God. God is the creator of all that exists, and yet he calls us to do our work, participate in his work, in our own creativity, which we have, and to develop those skills, and so on. Our psalm today, from Psalm 90, you know, that psalm concludes saying twice the same phrase, give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. When you begin your day, it's a good practice to put before the Lord in your prayer what you have to do that day, the work that's before you, and asking for his blessing, maybe even using that phrase from Psalm 90, give success to the work of my hands, give success to the work of my hands today. And the Lord will bless that. He will bless your work. You will find that when God's blessing is on your work, that things just seem to work together more easily. We're spinning our wheels less, and we're seeing God's providence as we carry out the work that he has given us to do. And we're doing it for a higher purpose. Where our Lord himself, we had Matthew chapter 13 today, and they said, well, isn't this the carpenter's son? Where did he get all of this? Where do these mighty deeds come from? In Mark 6, they ask the question, isn't this the carpenter? So probably both things were being said at this event. He was indeed the carpenter's son, Joseph's son, but he also was a carpenter himself. In fact, St. Justin, who lived right after the time of the apostles, in his dialogue with Trypho, he said this. He wrote this, when Jesus came to the Jordan, he was considered to be the son of Joseph, the carpenter, and he was deemed a carpenter when among men, making plows and yokes by which he taught the symbols of justice and work. Plows and yokes. That should call to mind, right, some of the words of our Lord. Keep your hand on the plow. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And those who were carpenters, tekton in the Greek, actually they didn't just work with wood, they worked with iron. They worked with stone. They were builders as well. And we see that in the Shroud of Turin, he was a strong man. He would have had calloused hands and a strong back in his work as a blue-collar worker, as we would say today. And yet he spends, you know, 30 years of his hidden life. He learns from Joseph this trade. He's fully God, but he's fully man. And so he also grew in wisdom and understanding. And perhaps in some ways, as he wielded the axe or as he, you know, had blows with the hammer, that in some way he resembled Joseph, as sons often do. They resemble their fathers, the way they walk, the way they talk, the phrases that they will use. And in his teaching in the gospel, he found no contradiction in his father, Joseph. I love this phrase, or this little saying that says about the quality of virtuous men and how they work. One of the qualities of virtuous men is that they quietly carry out their responsibilities and work without looking for acclaim or applause. Enough for them is a satisfaction that comes from doing things as they ought to be done, doing them well, and letting one's actions speak for themselves. Actions speak louder than words, it is said. And the virtuous man is happy to reveal his love for God and for others by his quiet service and unacclaimed efforts. Jesus washed feet, and told the apostles that he had just given them an example of how they were to act. Jesus witnessed Joseph's silent service as he was growing in age and wisdom in Nazareth. The gospel Jesus taught found no contradiction in his virgin father. And so through our labors and through our work, we also are serving others. You know, there's sometimes a sentiment, boy, I wish I could win the lottery. Why? Because then I could be served by everybody else. We've lost our direction if that's our total goal in life. No. The Lord himself came not to be served, but to serve. And so our work is a way in which we serve, which we give of ourselves. There's an element of the cross in it at times. But that's how we prove our love. It's how we prove our love for God, our love for others. Love is proven in sacrifice. When that's there, we know love's authentic. And finally, we know, however, that work is not an end in itself. It's not the goal of our life. And we think of the Sabbath rest. St. Joseph would have led the Immaculate Virgin Mary and the Eternal Son of God in prayer on the Sabbath. And we should observe the Sabbath. It's often forgotten today. It's just another day. It's a weekend. But to observe it as the Lord's day, that everything doesn't depend on me. Every day just doesn't have to be all these efforts of work and labor. But that we're taking a Sabbath rest when we have the opportunity to spend time with God, realizing it all depends on him. It all relies on him. Give success to the work of our hands during the work week. But resting with the Lord and taking that Sabbath rest. Joseph is a master of the interior life, St. Teresa of Avila called him. She named so many of her first monasteries of the Reform after St. Joseph. May he teach us how to grow in that interiority, that interior life, and also how to carry our work out well. As St. Paul says, doing it from the heart, as for the Lord and not for men, that it will be part of our own sanctification, part of the work that we carry out that will lead us to the eternal reward in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord.